but four of her went and got a belt, and she came after me. But there was a problem, see, because at 14, I was already a good 4 or 5 inches taller than my mom. So she came in with me, and she went like this with the belt. And she was half playing, but she was mad. And I grabbed her hand, and I stopped it. And then she swung at me with the other hand, and I grabbed that hand too. And somehow she got turned around, and she backed me into a corner. And so I'm like this with my mom, like, you're not going to hit me with this belt. You're not going to hit me with this belt. And you know, there's those moments where you're like, oh, I did the wrong thing. Like, I shouldn't have done this to my mom. And then there are things like that that just come up. There are lessons we wish we would have learned earlier, spats over little things that we should have forgiven or even dismissed as not being worth losing a friendship over. I know these days, two young kids at home, I feel like I'm constantly in between the two of them as they go after each other. They love to push each other's buttons. They love to fight, but they also love to have their own way. And that's what so many of those arguments are about. But as much as we like to avoid conflict, we've all learned in life that there are things that are worth fighting for. There are things that each of us have decided are worth fighting for. And a lot of times that's so different from person to person. Those things are very different. But you know, we don't need to look much further than the last 9 days, and we've seen a number of people marching on Washington, different groups with their causes and their things that they want important. And they're saying, we are worth fighting for these things. It's the same with our recent election cycle. Fierce debating went on what seemed like an eternity of time, because people thought that their issues were worth fighting for. You know, for parents, we were willing to fight for our kids. We'll fight for the best medical attention, best education, the best future possible. There are things that all of us have decided are worth standing up and fighting for. And Christianity is a set of beliefs that are worth fighting for. But too many times, those things that we ought to be fighting for get lost in the things that we're fighting against. Christianity becomes known with for what we're against rather than what we're for. We've picked the wrong hills to fight on. This morning, I want to start a new series to talk about something that we all should be willing to fight for. But I want to start with our question of the day. We do this question of the day, and we invite you guys to turn people closest to you and answer just a simple question. It kind of gets us all on the same page, and it's this: what are the things worth fighting for to you? What are those things for you? What are you gonna stand up and fight for? So take a couple, not be okay. It's just not okay to leave that way. And we want that to be so true of our church, of our church family. We want it to be a place where everybody is welcome. Everybody feels okay, but we don't want you to leave that way. We want you to leave changed, having come and experiencing God's gift for you, his love, his kindness, his forgiveness. We want you to come as you are with your brokenness and your pain, your hurts, your doubts, your questions. But I hope you leave having encountered Jesus. I hope you feel lifted up and walk into your week with a deeper understanding of how you can live your life and line it up with the one that Jesus has called us for. And every Sunday, that's our hope. And that's my hope for today. Our hope is that we can change our relationships. Because we've got a picture out in the world of how relationships are. And then there's a beautiful painting of a picture of what God has for the human relationships. Rainer Marie Reichel says this: for one human being to love another is perhaps the most difficult task of all, the epitome, the ultimate cost. It is the striving for which all other strivings are merely preparation. Think about that. One human being to love another is perhaps the most difficult task of all. Over the next few weeks, we're going to spend some time talking about the marriage relationship. But before you tune me out, I want you to give me just a couple minutes, because I think that these principles have so much more than just inside of marriage. I think whether there are those that aren't married yet, those that are still dating, those that are engaged, there's something for you in this message. If for our young people, for our teenagers, our young adults about to enter that season, there's something for us. For those of us who have friends and coworkers, or that tricky cat that just doesn't get along with us all the time, I think we can talk some sense into them. And I think that these messages might be for you as well. These messages are maybe fuel for prayer. Someone you know who's going through a tough time, that you can pray these things over them and for them. Maybe they're encouraging words that you can share with somebody else. And you can steal it all, tell them you came up with it. You know, that just take it, it's yours. You know, you don't have to quote me, just take it. Man, all right. All right, everybody breathe, we're okay. We're gonna be good. All right, so here's what I want to talk to about this morning. You have to choose to intentionally fight for your relationships. You have to make that choice. Whether it's a marriage relationship, or it's a relationship with your kids or your family, your coworkers. Because if we don't, they just dissolve and that we let them go away. We just let them escape us and never pour our time and our energy into them. If we're not intentionally making choices to actually fight for these relationships. I want to start with a passage out of Matthew chapter 19, and this is what Jesus has to say, or what it says about Jesus. So a large crowd were following him there, and he healed their sick, and some Pharisees came, and they tried to trap him with this question: should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for just any reason? Haven't you read the scriptures, Jesus said? They record that from the beginning, God had made them male and female, and that, and then he explained, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. And since they are no longer two, but one, let no one split them apart, what God has joined together. Then why did Moses say in the law that a man could give his wife a written notice of divorce and send her away, they asked. Jesus replied, Moses permitted divorce only as a concession for your hard hearts, but it's not what God had originally intended. And I tell you this, whoever divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery unless his wife has been unfaithful. And what we see here is Jesus reiterating just a long honored truth of Christian, of godly belief, that a man and a woman would be joined together. And he says, if they are no longer two, but one, let no one split them apart. And if God is saying that no one should split together what he has put together, that we've got to be willing to fight for these relationships. We've got to be willing to pour our lives into making sure that these relationships stay together, because that's what God wants. We're not two individual people that have gone into some, you know, binding relationship for a time. But it's like taking a piece of paper that's been glued together and after a little while splitting it apart. And you don't have two separate pieces of paper. You have pieces of paper with each other on side of it. And that's why we can't be split apart. Dan and Amy Olson say, marriage can be the most nourishing and more enduring of human relationships. Ironically, marriage can also be the most disappointing, frustrating, and conflicted of all human relationships. And we've all experienced that. I mean, every life goes through that. No marriage is so perfect that we don't have our down moments, so we don't have those moments where we fight or where we bicker. But how do we do it? And how do we do it to a point where tomorrow we wake up or before we go to bed, we reconcile in those relationships? Because that's what God had intended, for them to stay together. And too many people go through these relationships and they split uneasy. They just walk away from them, not pouring their life into them. These words of Jesus show us the importance of the relationship. And how easy is it for us to just walk away these days? I mean, it's easy for people to put on a facade, and people make marriage look easy, and we wear all these masks. But what it really does is it's just hiding the pain and the brokenness. You know, both my wife and I come from divorced homes. And I know that sometimes there are reasons that are real reasons and justifiable reasons for divorce. I mean, we know that there are things, adultery, physical, emotional abuse would give any reason for divorce. But for the Christian, outside of that, there's no such thing as irreconcilable differences. I mean, we worship a God who does not understand the term irreconcilable differences. A God who has gone so far to go for every one of us, no matter what we've done, and he still loves us. He paints a picture, a beautiful picture of how far we should be going. We have to forgive because so much of our lives we've been extended that grace and that mercy that we don't deserve. How can we not extend it to our spouses, our friends, our family, other relationships that we go through? Looking at the marriage relationship, we see that it's the first of human relationships that's created. Genesis chapter 2, then the Lord God said, "It's no good for man to be alone." And I think that's an important verse we need to hone in on, that it's not good for man to be alone. "I will make a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one, and he gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still, there was no helper just right for him. We see that God puts these things out in front of us. And so many times, we're even tempted, and we fall in, these other things I can give my life to. But that's not what we need. We don't need a job that we can pour our lives into. We don't need hobbies that we can pour our lives into. We need a person that we can pour our lives into. So the Lord caused the man to fall asleep into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last the man exclaimed, "This is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man." This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united as one. I remember hearing an old preacher one time talking about this passage, and he says it's interesting that Eve is not made from the skull so that she'd be over man, and she's not made from the heel so that she would be under man, but she was made from the rib because she's his helpmate, and she's supposed to be right next to him. And we see in this this passage that God didn't create a man. He didn't create a neighbor. He didn't create man a coworker. He didn't create a buddy, a fishing buddy or a hunting buddy. He created a helpmate, someone who would go through life together, someone who could go through the ups and the downs, the good and the bad and the every day. This relationship has got to be one of the most utmost important relationships to us outside of our relationship with Christ. Today, we continue to see the rise of divorce rates, but we also see a rise in the increase of cohabitation rates, of couples that are just living together, not giving themselves to marriage. Both of these show a disregard for the relationship that God has created for man and woman. We're not supposed to do these. We're not supposed to leave these so easily, and we're not supposed to be afraid of these relationships either. We're not supposed to just walk away. We're supposed to join together for the ups and the downs. There are many reasons why God has created the relationship that he did. You know, I've read married people tend to have a healthier lifestyle because they have someone to go home to. They lead less risky lives. They eat healthier. They exercise more. They avoid harmful behavior because they don't want to leave their spouse alone. Marriage is important psychologically as well. Man said it's not good for us to be alone. We weren't made to be in isolation, but in community together and at the deepest level of intimacy with another person that we can know and trust and love without having to go through this cycle of relearning that over and over and over again as we go and enter and leave relationships. Raising children in two-parent homes is function better. Our children raised in two-parents' homes function better, both emotionally and academically. Kids raised in two-parents' homes are least likely to drop out of school, have higher grades, and are less likely to get pregnant in high school. And I've experienced this firsthand. I was raised in a single mother home. It was just me and my sister from the time I was six, and she was two. My dad left, and I watched my sister struggle with trying to find a man, a male figure in her life who would love her unconditionally because she didn't have it from the very early ages of life. Marriage is so important, not only to the man and the woman, but to the children as well. And I've noticed that no matter how many songs or movie quotes that we read, things like "love is all you need," "love makes the world go around," "love never means having to say sorry," these just aren't, they're not true. They placate us, they lie to us, they're false. The Bible tells us the true meaning of love, of the word love, and we see it lived out in the life of Jesus. We see it defined by the inspired words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not boast, it is not envy, it is not proud. It's not just a word that we use, but an action that we live out. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus that husbands and wives are supposed to submit to one another before he gave them any other kind of instruction on that relationship. The Bible is full of helpful things that change the way that we think and how we help one another. We've got to stop, but it starts with stop thinking about ourselves so much. Because that's the root of so many of our issues. I don't want to fight because I don't want to put the energy involved. I don't want to fight because I'm not worth putting it in, the time in anymore. I'm done. But that's because we think about ourselves, and we have to intentionally choose to fight for our relationships. Any of our relationships, every relationship that a Christian is involved in is valuable. And every relationship is worth fighting for. There's a proverb in Proverbs 31 that says this: who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She's more precious than rubies. And so many times we're willing to go and fight for these treasures, but we don't see our spouse as that treasure, our family member as a treasure, that coworker as a treasure. Who can find a virtuous and capable spouse? They are worth more than just all the riches in the world, because that's the relationships that we were designed for. Found a little poem, though I haven't found the rhyme to it, so you'll have to go with me this morning. It says this: everyone's life, there are problems to solve. Even in the strongest relationship, there are differences to overcome. It is easy to give up when confronted with difficulties, to fool yourself into believing that perfection can be found somewhere else. But true happiness and lasting relationships are found when you look inside yourself for solutions to your problems. Instead of walking away when things get tough and blaming the other person, look for compromises and forgiveness. Caring is not a matter of convenience, it is a commitment to one of soul to one another. And if each gives generously of themselves, be generous in all things, right? Okay. If each gives generously of themselves, then both lives are enriched. The problems will come and go, just like the changing season. But unselfish love is constant and everlasting. We've got to choose to intentionally fight for our relationships. They are so worth it. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about how fighting is inevitable, but there is a wrong way to fight in our relationships, but there's also a right way to fight in our relationships. And then we're going to talk about how we need more marriages worth watching. You know, and there are people that will go to these arenas and they will watch boxing matches, and they want to see great fights, something worth their time. And how many, I don't know if you guys follow, I don't really watch the boxing matches lately, but I wait and I'll read like the headlines because I want to see how quick they knocked them out, because there's no good boxing matches anymore. Like, it's like a 30-second and the guy steps wrong and he gets him in the jaw and then he's down. Or the UCF guys, they pin him because his way is better than his way, and it's like a minute and a half in and it's over. Like, it's just kind of humorous to me that they put all this time and energy into like 45 seconds of boxing. But they go, people, I mean, they will pack arenas to watch a good fight. But how many marriages do we have that are worth watching, that the people that are around us are seeing that this is a couple that is worth living that life out for one another, that they're worth fighting, that they found the right way to fight? And how many of our older couples are willing to come alongside younger couples and mentor them and live life together and build relationships with them? We need marriages that our children can emulate and have positive memories of. And you're going to fight fights, but let's talk about some biblical ways to fight them. I want you guys to make sure you guys are here with us over the next couple of weeks. I think these are some of the most important conversations that we can have. I mean, marriage is the social or societal fabric. And we've ripped it apart and we've torn it to shreds and we're watching the downfall of our culture because of it. We've got to make changes. We've got to see Jesus change our lives in these matters. But let's wrap up this message. Let's talk about some of the things we've already talked about. Marriage and these other relationships, we've got to maintain that they are worth fighting for. That in our hearts, not just something we say in our heads, but in our hearts, our lives, and our actions, we said marriage and these relationships are worth fighting for. God created marriage, and it's an extremely important part of society. What God has put together, let no one tear apart. He knew you would need a partner to go through life with, and you're better off for it. And it's going to take more than love. It's going to take intentionally walking through every decision you make to make the best decisions that benefit, not hurt, your marriage. Why don't you guys pray with me, and we're going to move into our response time. Father God, we've seen the great lengths at which you have gone to fight for us. And ultimately, we know that all of these relationships are but a foreshadow of the ultimate relationship that you've given us, and that's the relationship between us and you. We see that in the love relationship that you have for your church as the groom and the bride. We experience that as parents, in the love relationship between a heavenly father and his adopted child. We see that in all of our interactions every day as a way to give away what you have given to us. Whether it's mercy and forgiveness, love and kindness, your patience, the way that you bear with us when we stray away, when we're not on the narrow path, when we've started thinking more about ourselves. And so this morning I pray that you would just speak to us in these moments. That you would show us how these pieces all fit together in our life. And I pray that you would just touch us. Father, that we'd be open to responding to you, that we'd lean on your Holy Spirit right now to respond in a way that is worthy of you, that's worthy of what you're speaking into us. And Father, as we partake of these emblems, remember what Jesus did for us. Father, we thank you for that. Father, I pray that as we go this week, that we would fight fights worth fighting for. And I pray that you would just walk us through every single one of those decisions. Be with us now. I pray this in your son's name. Amen.